studios in Los Angeles. Here's Eddie Garcia.
Week 9 in the NFL came to a close with Monday Night Football in rainy Kansas City, where the Chiefs needed overtime to stay undefeated. They post a 30-24 win over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Kansas City quarterback Patrick Mahomes had 3 touchdown passes, 2 to wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins. Tight end Travis Kelce had 14 catches, and running back Kareem Hunt 106 yards rushing, including a 2-yard touchdown run in overtime to win the game. Kansas City won the coin toss, and Tampa Bay never saw the ball in the extra period. Chiefs are 8-0 with the win. Buccaneers fall to 4-5. Some NBA games of note. The Cavaliers improved to 8-0 with a 116-114 win over the Bucks. Thunder are 7-0. They beat the Magic 102-86. Celtics beat the Hawks 123-97. Boston is 7-1. In the NHL, the Kings shut out the Predators 3-0. It was the Devils blanking the Oilers also by a score of 3-0. College basketball, number 1 Kansas beat Howard 87-57.
Alabama, 1st and 10 on the 12. Again, Houston. He's got a hole. He's over. Alabama touchdown.
Now, I'm just wondering if your listeners know how good a football player you were. I can still see you playing that fullback, knocking those players out of the way. And that, I believe I could have run behind you.
Martin, I can remember when we came to center. And you were playing fullback up there. And I saw you in the weight room and watched you work out in the weight room. But you could pick up, you were strong enough to pick up the whole weight room. I wanted to pick it, and I running back coach didn't take the test. biggest mistake we ever made.
The Martin Houston Show with national championship winning fullback Martin Houston, giving you 1 hour of intense, hard-hitting analysis from an insider's perspective. It's time for the Martin Houston Show on your home for Alabama sports, Tide 100.9, and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Good morning. Welcome into the Martin Houston Show with Martin and Xavier, powered by Box I Care. It is a Tuesday edition. That means we have DC Castle Report joining us to talk Bama versus LSU college football's playoff rankings week 1, college football in the SEC in 2025. And we've got some Bama hoops. The men's and women team getting big wins to open the season. Over to you.
We'll definitely welcome you into another edition, a Tuesday edition. Of course, as Xavier said, Tuesday edition means that DC Capstone Report joins the conversation, but it also means that you have an opportunity to join the conversation on the Empowerment Strategies and Solutions Hotline. And you can join us on the Empowerment Strategies and Solutions Hotline at 205-342-9904. That's the Empowerment Strategies and Solutions Hotline. We speak, we coach, we train. Also, if you are joining us on the live stream, you can add your comments, your reaction, your questions in the live stream chat, and we'll work that into the conversation. Visit Facebook, the Martin Houston Show on Facebook, like, follow, and share, and we'll add you to the conversation. So glad to have you up and at 'em with us on this beautiful, beautiful morning. Good morning, DC. How you doing, sir?
Good morning, Martin. Good morning, X. Doing great. Glad to be on this morning.
Awesome. So, DC, as we get ready to kick this episode off, there's a lot going on, but let's go ahead and talk some basketball. I know that's what you really love to get into. Bama's men and women's team had big wins last night. Let's actually start with the women's big win, 115-53 over the New Orleans Privateers. Bama's ranked number 24 in women's. I know we've talked a ton about the men's team, but the women's team is poised and has been going in the right direction as well of late.
Yeah, no doubt. What a great opening game for the women. And you know, Christy Curry doesn't really get as much of the press as Nate Oates does, but she's quietly in a consistent, longer fashion, gotten this Alabama women's team up where they can compete with the big teams. And I think it's the first time we've been a preseason top 25 team in a long time. So very proud of what she's been able to do with this team. Team showed up and really played a really good game against New Orleans.
And this is the most points they've scored since like 1995. So, what's that, 24 years?
Thirty-nine years.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I just graduated from Alabama. I know about math.
Yeah, highlight some of the players. Aaliyah Nye had 25 points. Sarah Ashley Barker, 23. Aris Lester, 16. Zay Green, 12. They tied, shot 52% from the field and 14 of 31 from three. So this team's putting up big points and doing it in a fun way.
Go ahead, DC.
I'll say, yeah, they did it. It was a really great offensive production, but they've had to play really good defense too, holding New Orleans, you know, 50 something points. Just really good defense as well.
And I would say this, X, before we move on, but I think you look at Aaliyah Nye and Sarah Ashley Barker, you got two pretty good players. I know they combined for 48 points. They almost outscored the directional school by themselves. But that's two returning players who've played a lot of basketball and played it at a high level. Let's get ready to move on.
Yeah, and then we go over and we look at the men's team. Hey, they're picking up where they left off. They had a 110-54 win over UNC Asheville. In this game, you know, Grant Nelson and Latrell Wrightsell are on restricted minutes as they're coming back from injuries. We found out yesterday that Nas Cunningham, who was at one point the number one player in the 2024 class, is redshirting, as well as Houston Mallett. That's two guys that maybe some people thought were going to contribute, but because of injuries, they're redshirting this year. But big wins. Mark Sears led the way, scoring 20. Aiden Sherrill, one of the freshmen, 9 rebounds. LeBaron Filon, another freshman, 9 assists. LeBaron Filon again, 3 steals to lead the team. And then, of course, Bama had 7 guys in double digits.
Yeah, what an amazing performance on the first game of the year against a pretty good UNC Asheville team that, you know, had a record last year of 23-10, I believe. So wasn't a pushover game, but it was a game that Alabama looked like a pushover game. And what I loved about it was, you know, got 7 players in double figures. You got Darion Reed just outside double figures at 9 points. So you got 2 freshmen, you know, starting and contributing with Filon and Reed. Then you got Amori, the senior transferring from Rutgers, who really came on and played a lot in this game, did a really good job for the post. It just looks like this is a better team than last year. And we definitely have talent. Depth and talent. And what I loved about the game was we were all talking about how exciting the offense was, but we really played defense. And it was just not only the starters playing defense, but those who sub came in and played defense. And not only the upperclassmen playing defense, but the freshmen actually played good defense. So just very impressed overall with everything that the team did last night.
And I know it's way, way too early, X and DC, but for a young man to have played in 4 games, is Filon quietly, if this trajectory continues, is he quietly working his way to be the best freshman Alabama has had? I mean, this dude was one. I know the competition wasn't great last night, but he showed the same thing against Memphis that he showed against these guys. He's one assist away from a double-double in his first game. And, of course, he, you know, That was in 24 minutes. So, you know, I think because of the way he committed somewhere else and all this stuff, I don't think we covered his commitment as much as we did the likes of some of the great freshmen that have come in. But he's quietly come in and seems like he's taken right to it.
Well, I agree 100%. I don't even think he was one of the most coveted players in the class. You know, they talked about Cheryl and Reed and Nas Cunningham on a national level, but Pylon didn't get much press in that. But he is quietly maybe becoming the best recruit that we had in that class. And he's making other players work hard as well. And he shows a lot of maturity when he talks, when he directs the players on the court, and when he's able to play with the upperclassmen. A lot of maturity, a lot of basketball in that young man. So, yeah, it's early on, but remember, this Alabama team has had times in the past, maybe not under Nate Oates, but when they fell right out of the gate. And there's some other teams around the nation last night that didn't win their opening game or game that they're supposed to win, like UAB lost. I think South Carolina lost, so. There's a lot of things that go into scheduling and playing tough opponents, and I think that Nate Oates has really got us on the right track. We're going to face a lot tougher opponents, but starting with an opponent like UNC Asheville is a really good way to build the confidence in your team as they play together and play so well, especially in your young players like Fallon and Reed and Cheryl.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those things when you look at his level of play. He's probably the least talked about, as you said. But, man, his game is so smooth and it's translating. And he's just going to get better. You know, he did also have four turnovers. But the more he gets comfortable as the season goes, I think you'll see him have a really productive season. And I think he's a guy that you – when you talk about all these guys coming in, he might end up being the guy that is a for sure one and done if his play continues to translate and improve throughout the course of the season.
But we hope not. But we want his play to continue, but we don't want to be one and done. But anyway, Mark Sears is an automatic 20. When that dude step on the court, just write down 19 to 20 every night, which is crazy. No matter how the playing time goes, no matter how many minutes he gets, he's going to get around that 20 point, but it'll be sweet to have when he goes out that you don't just rest him, that the player coming in or the players coming in can keep it going. Big O, Big C, whichever name we're going to give him, Big Red, whatever, his nickname will end up being, did exactly what you want from your big man. And that's just something Alabama didn't have last year as far as a dominant big man around the rim, both offensively and defensively.
Absolutely. I think one of the best additions has to be Omari and Cheryl to the team. And I think it's going to not only going to help us early in the year, but I think late in the year when we in the meat of our SEC schedule, you're going to see, because of their play on defense and on rebounding, that it gives us an edge. But then it helps the other players around them, because I think then it gives Grant Nelson, when he's in the game, an opportunity to go out and play in a more natural four position, where he is a mismatch against most every other forward in the game right now. And so I think it's going to make – he not only plays well and does great for the team, but going to make the players around him even better.
All right. We'll be back on the other side to keep the conversation going. You're listening to the Martin Houston Show with Martin and Xavier. We have DC Capstone Report in with us today. And so just make sure you stay tuned. If you want to get in on it, 205-342-9904, or visit Box Eye Care. Hey, go visit Box Eye Care right now at boxeyecare.com and find out what all they have to offer you in terms of the great services. We'll keep the conversation rolling right here on your home for Alabama sports, Tide 100.9 and 1230 a.m.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Well, hello, and a very happy Tuesday to you. We're getting off to a nice and light start around the area, looking at nothing other than road construction for the time being. So we've got 2059 eastbound between Joe Malisham and 69. You will have that long-term road work and lane closures.
Experience the wow factor. Contact Shute Masonry and Specialties at 205-887-3807 today and unleash your home's full potential.
Got timberland in West Alabama or East Mississippi? North River Timber Company has you covered. Since 2011, Courtney White, a registered forester, along with his expert team, have been managing timberland and harvesting timber across four West Alabama counties. They offer comprehensive timber management plans, reforestation services, and appraisals. Courtney White says timber is like money in the bank. Don't let your investment
in West Alabama. If they don't have what you're looking for on the lot, they'll find it for you. Check out the complete inventory at MercedesOfTuscaloosa.com. Roll Tide.
Hey, I'm Martin Houston, and I want to tell you about exciting news happening at Box Eye Care. They've moved to their new location, bringing you a brand new lab, stylish new frames, and a fresh look just for you. Enjoy their expanded frame inventory, competitive prices, and faster service, all with the same great level of service you've come to know and trust. Discover this full-service eye care at Box Eye Care's new location. With their in-house lab, they offer unbeatable value and one of the largest frame collections in town. Schedule your eye exam today and walk out with new glasses in less than an hour in most cases. Visit BoxEyeCare.com. That's BoxEyeCare.com or call 205-342-0660. That's 205-342-0660. Visit them at 5003 Oscar Baxter Drive. That's Box Eye Care. Your vision, our priority.
Interact with the Martin Houston Show by calling us at 205-342-9904. Or tuning into the Martin Houston Show on Facebook.
Welcome back into the Martin Houston Show with Martin Xavier. We have DC, the DC Capstone Report, joining us. We've been talking Alabama basketball this morning as the season kicked off for the men's and women's team last night. And we've got a couple of callers wanting to join us on the Empowerment Strategy Solution Hotline to talk basketball. We have J-Rob. How you doing this morning, J-Rob?
Good morning, everybody. How you doing today?
Good morning, J-Rob. Doing good.
Hey, man, what a night last night. I was very, very impressed with Alabama basketball last night. It's amazing to see all those stars on the court. Which way do you look? I mean, you got shooters all over the court, and then you got shooters coming in from the bench. I mean, it's very, very impressive that opening game that we saw. And I just don't know, man. It's going to be hard to beat that team. What do you guys think about that?
DC? I thought it was a very impressive start there, Rob. I agree with you 100%. You got high-profile stars all over the place, which we can see from the depth. It's great to have depth, but when you have depth that's that talented, it's really an embarrassment of riches, if you will. So I think we're going to be a formidable opponent against everybody we play on our schedule this year. And we'll see what we're made of when we head out to Las Vegas and play Houston and a few other teams like that. But I think it'll be good for us to get our feet wet early before we get into the SEC schedule.
Well, you know, yeah, we haven't been playing lightweight.
Yeah, and I mean, you got to look, like it was stated, Grant and Latrell aren't even fully healthy. So wait till those guys get back to 100% and are able to contribute and give you their full minutes. This team is really, really deep. You know, normally people say you're looking for, I think you stated it last week, that six or seven guys, but this team might have 10 or 11 deep of how deep this team can go. So these guys can stay fresh, especially during the softer part of the season and schedule where you don't have to run your guys' legs so much and you can save those minutes for later on down the stretch.
Yeah, and that, you know, Mark Sears didn't even look. He had a sweat breakout last night. I'm saying, I'm so glad we got some depth, and it's just going to be an exciting year for Bama basketball. Well, it's an exciting year for Bama sports, period, man. It's a good time to be an Alabama fan, and I'm looking forward to this weekend also. But basketball took the spotlight last night. Y'all have a good day. Roll Tide.
Roll Tide. We've got Pat joining us on the highline. Hey, Pat, you finally getting to talk some basketball. How you doing this morning?
Man, hey, I was in my seat last night. Wow. Had a great crowd. Oh, it was filled up to the rafters on the sides and the back of me. I was down on row 14. I've got some great seats. It was just phenomenal. Hey, but when Grant was in with a center playing, and he wasn't out of position. It was only for just a brief while. But wow, what could happen? It was looked absolutely phenomenal, guys. And then, man, you can't say enough about Coach Oates and his recruiting. Wow. And I guess people are just when you built a mousetrap, people are just wanting to come and play for you. What do you guys think?
I agree 100%, Pat. I think when you have Clifford Morey at the center, I'm looking forward to this line. Clifford Morey at the center, and then you got Grant and Jaren Stevenson out in the wings. That might be one of the most formidable back lines I've ever seen put together, the way they can play in their part. But then, look, if you're talking about recruiting, who wouldn't want to play in this type of offense? Who wouldn't want to play in this type of
play? And the biggest thing about that is hey, the guys that you had to and what you have to distribute the ball to that backcourt. Oh my God! I mean,
and Violet and Holloway and Reitzel. Man, what an opportunity!
Oh yeah, I mean this is just amazing. I mean we got to think about going to Baton Rouge, man. That, like you said, Martin ain't be on that voodoo princess down there, but hey, she's got a script A on her witch's hat, guarantee y'all. And look forward to a big weekend. And, Friday night, we got something to do. Hey, to go watch that ball game, the basketball Friday night. Come on.
That's right.
Yeah,
we do. Y'all have a blessed day. Thank you for taking my call, Mr. Houston.
Yes, sir. Have a good one, Pat. Hey, that's kind of the basketball conversation. DC, do you have anything else to add to it before we move on to football?
No, I think it's great. Just the people who are listening ought to go out and watch this team play. If you get a chance to go see them live and in person. It's really worth the ticket.
Agreed. So, switching over, Bama has LSU this weekend. I wasn't here for the conversation yesterday. Wasn't feeling too well, but I'm here for it today. what did y'all hit on yesterday with Kennington getting ready for football back this week?
Well, I would say just take it to wherever you want DC to take it, and if it's repetitive, it'll be DC's opinion. You're fine. Don't worry about that.
All right, DC. Bama has LSU. This is a must-win game. It's become that every week. Bama got a lot of help last week. Sometimes the football guys do shine down on Tuscaloosa, Alabama. It seems at the right time. Bama's up to number 11 in the polls. When we're looking at this game, what's one of the things that you see and you go, okay, if Bama does this, Bama walks away with a victory?
Yeah, I discussed it yesterday on the podcast that we put up. Alabama had a great opportunity. Both of the teams' backs are against the wall. LSU's going to play their hearts out because if they lose, they're out. Alabama's going to play their hearts out. If they lose, they're out. So I think the one thing that Alabama has to do to go into the game is on defense, they have to stop LSU's running game on first and second down and put them in long third down passing situations where we can pressure the quarterback and take advantage of what Nussmeier does. And what he does is he is aggressive and throws the ball in small windows which leads them to some good explosive plays. But also, when he's pressured, he does that, and it leads to takeaways. And I think if Alabama does that, stops the run, gets him in long passing situations, pressures the quarterback, we'll get some turnovers that will set us for Alabama to win this game and win it handily.
Yeah. You know, LSU is dead last in rushing. Let that sink in for a second. They're like dead last in the SEC in running the ball efficiency. And what we have to do, but they're high in chunking it, and they chunk it a lot, and they've given up virtually no sacks, if any, especially their left tackles. I mean, their tackles. So the question to me is that if Alabama can create pressure and move him off the spot, I don't care if they sack him or not, but they have to do what they did to Carson Beck. You know how people talk about somebody showing how to beat a team? Think about what Alabama did to Carson Beck and how many times that's been replicated. Fortunately, Georgia has been more talented than the teams they played. But if they run into a team that's close and on par, and you do what we've done to Carson Beck and two other, he's thrown, three out of his last four games?
He's thrown 11 interceptions since the Alabama game included. He's thrown 11 interceptions.
And I think Nussmeier, to DC's point, can be the same way. If you let him sit back there and get comfortable, he is a progression read guy, and he will find an open guy in man-to-man. He will find an open guy in the windows. But if you pressure him, get him off script, off of his pats, and what I mean by that is window one, window two, window three, gone. You know, if you get him off of that, then he'll throw it to the other team like he did against A&M a couple times, which that's what flipped that game. And then they just couldn't stop the momentum. DC, go ahead.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Martin. And that's what I'm saying. He has his skill set is for a pocket passer to watch and do progressions. But if you get him off that, if you get him pressured into making quick decisions, he has the innate ability to throw it in tight spaces sometimes and get some great explosive plays. So when you get him off of his rhythm, he goes back to that. He goes back to that athletic ability to throw in it and trying to get the big play. And what that does when he's not in rhythm, throws it to the other team. And Alabama has a team defensive strategy that is to take the ball away. And we play that robber coverage much like Texas A&M did. A lot at some of our base defense, sometimes in our pass defense. So I think we have a really good opportunity to get some takeaways in this game if we can pressure him. And that's the question. Can we get to the quarterback and pressure him? And if we do that, I think then that that's what you ask, X. I think that's how we win the game. If we do that, then we win the game in big fashion.
And I think it's based on whether or not is willing to go against his own tendency. X, it's just will Womack do it? Because remember, this team doesn't like they're not very good at running the ball. So do run blitzes, because majority and I call it play the run on the way to the quarterback.
I know their offensive line has been really good this year, probably the best offensive line in the country when it comes to giving up sacks. They just don't do it. They do have one of their starting guards out after he got hurt against Texas A&M. He had the same injury that Tate Ratledge of Georgia had, tightrope surgery on. So their right guard is out this week. And I didn't know they were that bad in the run. And it's the efficiency part of it. It's not just the run game. It's like running when you need to run and things of that nature. But I think if we go in with with the game plan that we went in the first half against Georgia. I think we can dominate their offense and their offensive line. Because once again, it's not about necessarily getting the quarterback on the ground. It's about moving them left, right, making them step up, making them have to throw at split second early. Because Nussmeier, he's a gunslinger. And as has been stated, he will throw it in tight spot. Like you, I don't know if y'all heard with the Texas A&M DB that picked them off. I think it was two drives in a row or two out of three drives. He said, the first one, he was like, there's no way he's going to throw this. There's no way he's going to throw. He just threw it on the first one. And then when he got the second one, he said, there's absolutely no way he sees me and he's going to do this again. And boom, he does it again. So he's going to take chances. He's going to take risks. We've shown that if that ball gets put up there, we will try to make a play on it this year. I think we have more interceptions already than we had all of last year, if I'm not mistaken, and by a big margin. So our DBs are playing the ball better. So that's the positive of this defense. But I agree, Womack has to get out of his tendency of wanting to sit back and just rush the front four guys, because this offensive line for LSU is good enough to hold up against just a four-man rush. South Carolina got pressure because they blitz. We got to do the same thing. There's been a couple teams that have shown the ways to beat this team defensively. And when we get back on the other side, we'll continue the conversation and shift to how do we do things on offense to take advantage of the things that LSU doesn't do well defensively. We'll bring that back on the other side. This is the Martin Heisey Show with Martin and Xavier, and we've got DC of DC Caps on report.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Well, hello and a very happy Tuesday to you. We're getting off to a nice and light start around the area. Looking at nothing other than road construction for the time being. So we've got 2059 eastbound between Joe Malisham and 69. You will have that long-term road work and lane closures.
Let's take control of our future. Vote Republican. Paid for by the Tuscaloosa County Republican Party, P.O. Box 2643, Tuscaloosa, Alabama 35403.
Dixie Battery Supply takes care of all of your battery needs. Find the commercial batteries you're after and never feel powerless again. Come check out our Northport and Tuscaloosa locations or call us at 205-758-9190. And once again, power up all your devices by using Dixie Battery Supply, dixiebatterysupply.com. They offer
And Fridays at the Free, every Friday during football season with Tide 100.9 and Ince Free Irish Pub, located at 1925 University Boulevard downtown.
Taco Casa, quality, taste, and value under the biggest cactus in town. They've been doing it the right way each and every day for 50 years and counting. If you're looking for a great option for lunch and or dinner, then you need to check out Taco Casa. Taco Casa, and while you're there, don't forget to get a big glass of that sweet tea.
398-9845. 800-398-9845. That's 800-398-9845.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky cloudy at times today and tonight. We'll have the chance of a few scattered showers around. The high today 77, tonight's low 64. Tomorrow and Thursday mostly cloudy, a chance of showers and storms both days. Highs between 75 and 78. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 70 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Into Tide 100.9 for more of the Martin Houston Show with Martin Houston and X's and O's Sports Xavier Houston.
Welcome back in to the Martin Houston Show with Martin and Xavier. I want to encourage you to get your Alabama officially licensed gear, legacy gear, and or just support your favorite Alabama football player, number 35. You can get your officially licensed gear at Athletes Thread, athletesthread.com/collections/Martin-Houston. And hey, listen, go ahead and make note of this. Hopefully at some point this week, maybe even today, I'll be launching the Christmas collection. And it has the, you know, Bama claws in there, but it has cool Bama hats as well as a sweater, winter sweater for your wife. And it's not an ugly sweater. It's a Bama sweater. So you can go to athletesthread.com/collections/Martin-Houston and get yours. We're going to break their eggs. I'd like to get you in DC's thoughts, man, on, you know, lots of things to talk about with this game. But the biggest thing is this Alabama defense has been playing well. Can they keep it up, number one? And then number two is, can Jalen Milroe keep up his bye week, post bye week excellence?
Yeah, I think that's a big question. And I think it's a question that, especially for this LSU game, that's the question we all be asking ourselves. Because I believe if there's one player on this team that, the game can be won offense through, it's going to be Jalen Milroe. And I mean that because I know the type of player he can be, and when they put him in a position to be that player. So I'm hoping that the coaches recognize things that LSU does on defense that gives us an advantage with our quarterback. And like you said, Martin, there's times where you can see how to beat a team, but you can also see how a team, what weaknesses are. And I believe South Carolina, Texas A&M, and Ole Miss all exposed a weakness in the defensive line and defensive formations for LSU is that they don't account for the quarterback and the quarterback's ability to run. And so, you know, Texas A&M's quarterback that ran the ball did a good job of it, but that was shown earlier with the quarterback from South Carolina, and South Carolina should have beat LSU. For some calls that happened up there, and I think referee calls. So, then Jackson Dart, if you go back to that game, Ole Miss never trailed in that game during regulation. And then they lose in overtime. But Jackson Dart extended so many plays with his legs. So this LSU team has shown through playing multiple games, not just one game, that they don't account for the quarterback. And we have probably the best athlete to ever play in that position. And it looks like sometimes our coaches don't put him in the best position. So I think he can do great. Will we put him in position to run the offense through Jalen Milroe at LSU? If we do, I think we have a way to blow this game open.
Yeah, when you're looking at what LSU does, and you against quarterbacks, athletic quarterbacks, running quarterbacks, Jalen had a career high last year against this team in rushing yards. It was 140, 150 yards. So we've already seen what he's done at one. He can do it one time. And this year's LSU team doesn't have their best quarterback spotted right now. Harold Perkins Jr. is out for the season after tearing his ACL earlier this year. So if Bama goes in and it is so funny. I think if Bama has the exact same game plan, I know it's different coaches, staff, and everything, but if they just watch that game from last year and say, Jalen, if you do what you did last year, we'll walk away with a W again. Because, man, this guy is so explosive and all that. And I love the way he played in this game last year because he would use his legs to take off and then he'd throw it. Then he'd use because he had thrown it last time, he'd come back up to the offensive line like he was going to throw it again. Boom, and he'd take off running. There were so many dynamic things. It was by far – you're talking about he out-dueled the Heisman Trophy winner last year in that game. And that is the key to Alabama's success. That is the key to Jalen being the best quarterback, potentially the best quarterback in college football. Let him play to his strengths. Georgia, LSU, we've seen it before. Let's see it again.
Yeah, and I'll say this. I've jokingly said that the Alabama defense last year and Coach Saban were watching the LSU film preparing to stop Jaden Daniels And they said, I think we have one of those over in our quarterback room. I am convinced, DC, that last year's game plan came from the defensive coaches versus our offensive coaches, because they saw how much trouble Jayden Daniels was giving, because it looked like the same offense playing against each other last year.
I agree 100%. I think that that's exactly what happened was they saw how great Jayden Daniels was, and they realized, hey, we got somebody that can do that on our team. Why aren't we utilizing him that way? Right. And we saw him have a breakout game against LSU.
And then we went back to doing what we were doing before.
That's exactly right. I think we need to have Jalen beat Jalen in this game and allow the coaches need to allow the game to go through him.
Yeah, and I think DC, the bye week has allowed Jalen to rest and get healthy from Knicks and any serious or semi-serious injury. But I also think it's allowed Alabama's team to get better, rested as well. And, you know, I said this on Ryan's show yesterday. In a bye week, X, what you do is you're always trying to correct what you see in film. But the problem or the challenge is you have to correct that while you're putting in another game plan. In other words, you're not passing a guy off, right? You're not passing the guy off correctly with the offensive line. When they loop, stunt, twist, or switch, you're not doing it effectively as an offensive line. So you realize that's what you're not doing, and then you get into practice, and you can only dedicate a small percentage of time to correcting that because the team you play the next week plays it differently. So you can't really get it. Well, when you have a bye week, you can go back and look at 3-4 games of how you messed up, see how different teams do it, and then teach on each one of those scenarios without the pressure of putting in a game plan. And I think that's why Jalen also gets better out of a bye week, is he gets the chance to really be coached on what he's doing wrong, what he needs to do to improve, without having to also learn a new game plan. And he picks it up, and then he's ready to roll.
I agree. I think you've hit on the two most important benefits of a bye week this late in the season. Get healthy and work on improving things that you can actually work on for a week before you have to start game planning for the next game.
Yeah, it is an absolute godsend during the course of the season to be able to sit back and go, okay, hey, this is where we were messing up. This is what we need to work on. And then you game plan. You might start putting stuff in at the end of the bye week to give you an extra day or two to work on those things, but you spend that first part of the bye week correcting things, fixing things, getting healthy as a team. Because we're not just talking about Jalen. Jaden Roberts has been banged up. We've had other guys banged up. So once you're able to get all of those guys back to 100% or as close as possible throughout that bye week, it benefits this team, especially on the offensive side of the ball. But we've got to get to break. When we come back on the other side, we'll continue this conversation of things that Alabama needs to do to beat LSU.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We got the rain pouring down, and we do have a bit of a messy commute right now. Looking at an accident on 359 as you travel in that southbound direction of 21st Street. Now, this is creating a bit of a delay in the immediate area. Nothing too severe as of right now. Otherwise, construction zone.
So whatever the size of your appetite,
there's always something delicious waiting for you here at Taco Casa.
Taco Casa, under the biggest cactus in town.
Houston Hydrosteam. That's Houston Hydrosteam. Quality work you can stand on. Whether you're looking for carpet and upholstery cleaning, oriental rug cleaning, residential or commercial water damage, and a whole lot more, you need to call Houston Hydrosteam at 205-553-9460. 553.
My office.
Count on ZipRecruiter to find the right candidates for it. Try ZipRecruiter for free today at ZipRecruiter.com/free.
That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Welcome back to the Martin Houston Show, the sound of Bama sports. Your show, your team, on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome back into the Martin Houston Show with Martin and Xavier. As we get ready to wrap up this edition of the Martin Houston Show, we have DC, we have the college football playoff rankings getting ready to come out. What are your thoughts? Where do you think Bama winds up? They're sitting number 11 in AP and coaches. Does Bama stay within that top 12?
Well, I think they do. I think you're going to see, I will be shocked if strength of schedule and wins over opponents isn't a high factor in the committee. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Alabama higher than 11 in the 12-team playoff. I wouldn't be surprised to see Alabama 8 or 9 tonight when they first come out. But, you know, it remains to be seen. We won't know until to the first one. But I do know that we were very fortunate to have some teams ahead of us that lost, and there's opportunities for other teams ahead of Alabama to lose. So the rest of the season. So I think that if we just keep winning games, we're going to be just fine.
So you think we end up higher than number 11? And
I do. It's based on the looking at all the schedules and think the schedules, power factors, and teams that we have beaten. Georgia is still performing well, and so I just think that it's going to be, a little bit higher than most people give us credit for. But I could be wrong. We'll see. We'll see tonight. We'll know tonight after how they're going to do that. How they're going to take those things into consideration.
Yeah, and I would
looks good now.
I would tend to disagree with DC on that for this reason. 1 through 4 is kind of set. You're going to have Oregon most likely, Georgia, and Miami and BYU as 1 through 4 in some fashion because of their record and they're the leading their conference. Then and I don't know in which order, I would say Ohio State, they'll keep Ohio State, Texas, Penn State, Tennessee, Indiana, and most likely Notre Dame in front of us because Notre Dame's one win, one loss is to a team probably what people considered on par. That may be the one that gets us. But those teams are already all in front of us with the exception of, they're all in front of us. Then I think you have to look, DC, at what they do with SMU, at 8-1 out of the Atlantic Coast Conference and Boise out of Mountain West. I think they'll probably keep Boise behind us. I just don't see us. I don't see them jumping us in front of any of those teams. Iowa State could jump back up there as well. So I think we'll be somewhere in that, 11 to 13 range. That's just my thoughts.
That's definitely a possibility. I'm just going on.
Who would you put him in front of?
I think the committee could use. That's definitely a possibility. I have nothing to go with. Mine's just a gut feeling based on if they use the right criteria. I think they will. I think it'll be a little different than most of the other people are thinking.
Who would you put him in front of?
Well, I'm just going on the way I think the committee is going to think, and I think that they're going to show you that. But they're going to set up Alabama in a good fashion if they win out, that they're going to be in no matter what.
I think 11 through 13, Alabama's fine if Alabama wins out. I just don't see us jumping like Indiana, Tennessee, Penn State, Texas, or Ohio State. Only one I see us potentially jumping would be Notre Dame. But we have two losses. They only have one. So, That'd be the team you'd have to jump, would be Notre Dame. So we could possibly.
That's right. We'll know if the one loss record is going to be the best indicator of how they're going to do it, no matter what, or is some of the other factors going to be really considered by this committee.
Yeah. And I'm like I said,
some of the other factors are going to be more considered than people really believe. But I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I personally hope, I talked about this yesterday. I hope they don't punish Indiana because Indiana's schedule hasn't been what it should be. Indiana should be the number five team in the country because they can't be in front. They don't have the win that matches up with Oregon, but they have absolutely annihilated everybody they've played.
Yeah, and that's all. Yeah, I think Bama sits between 10 at best, 13 at worst once this comes out. But DC, let's get your prediction and your sponsors to let everybody know who brings you to us every Tuesday.
In the top of yards.
Okay, we'd love to have y'all on. I love y'all having me on each week. And my sponsors, RollTideAlabama.com, FreelancePictures.com, and Karen Cottingham, Realtor right here in Tuscaloosa with the Williams Group, Keller Williams. So for all your real estate needs, those are the ones that allow me to do what I do each and every week with my podcast. And on the podcast this week, I went ahead and predicted Alabama will win 37-24. So I think that we go into Baton Rouge and win. A lot of folks think that we can't go in and beat them in Baton Rouge, but that's a misnomer. The truth is that we have LSU has a better win record in Bryant-Denny Stadium against Alabama than they do in Baton Rouge. So I think Alabama goes in there and takes care of business 37-24. And what was the tiebreaker?
Total yards.
For Alabama total yards?
Yeah.
428.
All right. And what was that score again?
Alabama 37, LSU 24.
37-24. All right. Hey, that's DC Capstone Report. That's Xavier Houston. I'm Martin Houston. This is the Martin Houston Show with Martin and Xavier, powered by Box Eye Care. We'll be back tomorrow for Would You Rather Wild Card Wednesday, and we'll have you in on the conversation. Remember this, trust in the Lord always. Lean not your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Roll Tide out to everybody.